It killed his church. All right. Outstanding. How many of you like those ginger plants? You like those ginger plants? They look like cannons, you know? Right? A beautiful, fragrant bloom on them. You ever seen one? I had them in my place in Pearland, and then my neighbor, they got regular ginger, and then they got variegated ginger. Speaking, anybody get that? Variegated's got the stripes on it. Regular ginger's just a solid green leaf. Does that make sense? Right? My neighbor, man, I'm telling you, she has got some ginger root growing on the side of her house. It is prolific. I mean, once that stuff gets established, it just starts running and growing, and it intertwines on top of each other. And you look at the side of her house, and it's just boom. I mean, it's kind of like, see the ginger, and then see her house. And when them things are blooming, it is gorgeous. I mean, it's fragrant. So I asked them, I think last year, can I, you know, I told them I had ginger on my property and my house in Pearland. I said, I don't have any ginger here. I see you've got a great abundance of ginger. Could I come over and take some of your ginger? And they said, absolutely, knock yourself out. They said, it's so thick, we don't even know what to do with it. And so I said, okay. They asked me about 6 months later, have you come and got, no, I hadn't come and got the ginger. But it is on the list, amen. So finally, a couple months ago, maybe, I went over and got the ginger. And I took a little hand shovel. I go over there and get a little root of ginger, you know, with a couple of shoots coming off of it. Well, that didn't work too good. The hand shovel wasn't enough. So then I went and I got a hoe, brought the hoe over there. Well, that wasn't enough either. Finally went and got the big daddy shovel and broke the handle on one shovel. And then went and got another shovel. Had two shovels working on that ginger root. Finally, I got a run out that had two shoots on it. I covered the hole back up, what hole there was, and took it over, and I got it planted in my yard, my flower bed. When that stuff gets established, it is off to the races. When Jesus establishes in your heart, friend, it should be off to the races. Amen? Let's take our Bibles and turn to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, let's all stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God. We're going to begin here in verse 30 and take it through verse 34. Mark chapter 4, beginning in verse 30, and we'll read it through verse 34. This is all the parable in we're going to get out of the Gospel of Mark. He's writing to the Romans. The Romans are about action. They're about, the Romans would be the kind of people that would go see the Avenger movie series, right? They're into action. They're into power. They're into, let's get it on, man. I mean, these are the Romans. So this is all the parable, and they're going to get right here. We're ending it right here with Mark's chapter 4, beginning in verse 30 and taking it through verse 34. The Word of God reads this. If you found it, say amen. Amen. And he said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? Verse 31, it is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs and shooteth out great branches so that the fowls of the air, that be birds, the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. Verse 33, with many such parables spake he the word unto them, as they were able to hear it. But without a parable spake he not unto them, and when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you. We thank you this morning for your church, for New Hope Church, Lord. We praise you and thank you for them. Thank you for their sacrifice. Thank you for their ministry. Thank you for their willingness. Thank you for their want to. Thank you for their ears today. their heart today to receive your word today. And Lord, we pray that your word would continue to truck on down, Lord. It would continue to be established in our hearts, the kingdom established in us, the Jesus established in this church. Lord, may it continue to go like wildfire in us, throughout this community, throughout our homes, throughout our jobs, our workplaces, where we go to school, where we spend our summers, Lord. May we be a walking billboard, the walking mouthpiece, the walking feet and hands and body of Christ. We take off from here today. Lord, for those that need to have the kingdom established in them, may this be the hour of their salvation. It's in your name we pray, and everyone said, amen. Thank you all for standing in honor of the reading of the inerrant word of God. In the parable of the sower, that was chapter 4, beginning in verse 3 and going through verse 9, and then there was a little break there, and then it picked back up verses 13 and runs all the way through verse 20, chapter 4, Mark. The emphasis was on what? If you've been here, I don't know, and heard some of these messages, you probably ought to be able to answer that, amen? Hopefully you can answer that. What was the emphasis on? The emphasis was on, Pastor, human responsibility. What am I going to do? In the parable of the seed growing in secret. Oh, that seed growing in secret. Man, that old farmer just having to take it by faith. Just having to go to bed and rise up, knowing that it's going to happen, right? The seed growing in secret, verses 26 through 29. The emphasis was on, do you remember, divine sovereignty. Well, my God is sovereign. He's got a plan. He's working it out. He's begun a good work in me, and He's going to complete it, amen, to its completion. That's right. Well, when you combine man's responsibility, when you combine and couple that with God's divine sovereignty, then you have man working out his own salvation because God is working within him. Friend, you ought to be working out your salvation. If you're not working out your salvation, why not? Why are you not working out your salvation? If the kingdom of God, if Jesus Christ has come, if He's sitting on the throne of your heart, if He's established in you, then you ought to be working out your salvation. Amen? Well, if you're not, you need to. If you're not, I'm worried about you. Work out your salvation. Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13 reads, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence," Paul writing to the church at Philippi, this is what he says, "under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Not with a remote in one hand and a cold beer in the other. That ain't it. Fear and trembling. Amen? Tell it like it is today, aren't we? "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do His good pleasure." Amen? So what we have here in this pre-summer, this pre-almost school is out, this pre-graduation time, if you've been in college or you're in, know somebody in college, they may have already had their graduation. But what we got here on this Sunday where we're about to go, woohoo, we're out. Woohoo, we're going on vacation. Woohoo, get to sleep in. I don't get to sleep in, but someone will get to sleep in. What we got here, what you have is abundant growth as explained in the parable of the mustard seed. Abundant growth. See, here in the parable of the mustard seed, growth, success, a good harvest comes from small beginnings. Small beginnings. In other words, the kingdom of God appearing small and insignificant. It appears that way. It's not that way. It appears that way. Appearing small and insignificant will continue to expand and to become increasingly a blessing to all who enter in. The little sprig that I took of the ginger plant? Yeah, love it. The ginger root. The little sprig. It doesn't look like the growth 100 feet away. I planted it the same side that it is on my neighbor's house. I put it on the same exact spot on my house. But it doesn't look like the same. That's been growing for years. I mean, it's established. Mine over here? Oh, it's got the want to. It's establishing in, but it ain't quite there yet, but it's going to get there. Amen? It's going to continue to expand and become increasingly a blessing to all who smell it. Man, when that ginger starts blooming, gardenias I love. Gardenia bush. Finally got a gardenia bush to grow at a house. This house. Finally got northern exposure, man. They like northern exposure. Got that gardenia in there. I thought, well, maybe the roots are going to get too wet right here where the water's coming off the house. But she's holding tight, man. She pushed out some blooms. Gardenia's beautiful. Amen? So three things I want to share with you about Mark chapter 4, verse 30 through 34. As Mark ends this time of Jesus teaching in parables to the crowds and to his disciples, three things. Point number one is simply this. Incredible service to others. Incredible service to others can develop if you'll make the choice, if you'll get involved, if you'll get some skin in the game, if you'll make some sacrifices. Incredible service to others can develop from small beginnings. We heard Ron Wade talking. Ron, you in here? Small beginnings. Oh, Lord, you don't want me to. There's no way I'm equipped. I can't. Man, wow. Small beginnings. And look at the ministry now. Look at the ministry now. Credible service to others can develop from small beginnings. And he said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. The kingdom of God in the days of Christ's sojourn, the days of Christ traveling the earth, was represented by a small band of genuine believers. When you compare it to the entire population of the Roman Empire, when you compare it to all those living in Palestine, even if you compare it to the large crowds that followed Jesus for selfish reasons. They were just there. They were the Christian groupies. They were fans, as Brother Marco says. They were not followers of Christ. Christ's real kingdom was indeed, apparently, or as it appeared, insignificant in human eyes. This kingdom at the very beginning resembled a small flock of defenseless sheep. Listen to Luke chapter 12, verse 32. The Word of God reads this. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Fear not. The kingdom shepherd was despised by men. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 3 tells us that. But even with man despising the good shepherd, amen? Even with the flock so small. Listen to how it ends up in Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. Listen to this and shout glory. Shout hallelujah. God's Word reads this. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne. Amen? Oh, I love it. And before the Lamb, clothed with white robes. You're going to get a white robe one day. Amen? And palms in their hands. Revelation 7, 9. Well, Pastor, what does this service to others look like? I'm so glad you asked that this morning. That really helps me out when you ask questions like that. That's a good question. Verse 32, but when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. What does that ministry look like, service look like? Well, the sprout resulting from that tiny little mustard seed grows, and I mean it grows, until the sprout becomes a shrub, which in turn grows and grows until the shrub is taller than any of the other plants that grow from seeds entrusted to the soil of the garden plant. Well, thank you for explaining that to me. I never knew that, So again, what does this service to others look like? Well, let me continue on. So large the shrub, so large the little small tree of 10 to 15 feet high, she sends out branches so that the birds of the air are able to lodge, able to get up in her branches and rest in the mustard plant's shade. Well, that's becoming clearer, but I'm still wanting to know how we translate that to 2016. Well, in the fall of the year, when the branches have become rigid, they get rigid in the fall of the year. Many birds can now get in here. Many species of birds can get in here. And they can find shelter in the mustard plant from storms. And they can find rest from their weariness of flight. And they can find shade from the heat of the sun. Yeah, but I'm still trying to figure this out, Pastor. What does the service to others look like? Well, in general terms, in very general terms, service to others looks like things done in the name of the Lord. Not in the name of you, or in the name of you trying to get a pat on the back, or in the name of you trying to build yourself up, or in the name of you trying to gain a following. No. In general terms, service to others looks like things done in the name of the Lord that give people shelter from the storms of life. Friend, I want to tell you, people are in the storms of life. Married people, single people, old people, young people, rich people, poor people, man people and woman people, all in the storms of life. Coming out of the storms, going into the storms, having a little rest between the storms. You know, it's hurricane season starting June 1st. Did you know that? We were down in Brazoria County for 7 years, pastoring Calvary Baptist Church. Man, we were like on the firing line. Brazoria County, you had to pay into the wind pool down there. You didn't have your windstorm through your homeowners. But no. You're right here on the coast. I'm not on the coast. I'm up in Brazoria County. I'm northern Brazoria County. They said, oh, no. You're in Brazoria County. You on the firing line, right? Here we are, friend. Storms of life. In general terms, service to others, it looks like things done, not in the name of you, but in the name of the Lord, that give people rest from their weariness. Amen. Oh, it's service to others, done in the name of the Lord, that give people some protection from the heat and the pressure of this old sinful world, church. Amen. Well, we come together on Sunday morning and Monday night and Wednesday night and Sunday night. Boy, I hope it's a place. My prayer is that it's a place that you find rest. Man, you find some shelter. Oh, you're able to lay some things down and pick some things up. You're able to get some help from your weariness. You're able to escape the storm of life. You're able, oh man, to get out of the pressure and the heat for just a little bit. Amen? Get retooled, re-encouraged up, ready to head back out there. What does this service to others look like? How many of you remember Mr. Rogers? Mr. Rogers? Won't you be my neighbor? It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? Right? From the book, Dear Mr. Rogers, Does It Ever Rain in Your Neighborhood? Letters to Mr. Rogers, written by none other than Fred Rogers. This is what he writes. He says, one girl in her family wrote to tell us there was a special reason why she wanted me to talk about feeding the fish every day. Dear Mr. Rogers, this is the letter. Please say when you're feeding your fish, because I worry about them. I can't see if you're feeding them. So please say you're feeding them out loud. Signed, Katie, age 5. And then in parentheses it says this, father's note, colon, Katie is blind. And she does cry if you don't say that you fed the fish. Service to others. Service to others. Ministry, if you will, begins small and it builds exponentially. Ministry begins with a letter from a father for his blind daughter to a children's TV personality. The dad ministers to the daughter. Why? Because the daughter wanted to minister to the fish. Mr. Rogers then ministers to the dad and the daughter by heeding the request, and the ministry expands. And then years after, dear old Fred has moved on to glory with Jesus. Today, years later, we're caught up in the beauty. We're caught up in the blessing of this act of ministry and kindness to this little blind girl and her family. And we hear it, and it soaks in, and we see how it relates to Mark chapter 4, verses 30 through 32, and it motivates us to apply God's Word. What a little girl wanted for some fish, what a daddy wanted for a daughter, what a TV host wanted for a child. It expands exponentially. Incredible service to others can develop from small beginnings, but point number two, you're taking notes, says this: the kingdom of God once established. Oh, it's got to be established. The kingdom of God's got to be established. But once it's established, it expands and it keeps on expanding. Amen? Verse 32, it keeps on going. It keeps on growing. And my great hope for you, my great plea for you, if it's not happened already, is hopefully the kingdom of God is established in you through the life, through the death, and through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Hopefully you've got it. See, once God's kingdom is established in you, look out, world, because here you come. Right? I mean, man, you are ready to get it for Jesus. You are ready to get it on down the road for the Lord. Amen? Well, when we think about this ragtag group, this small band of Jesus freaks, of Jesus followers, within 40 years of Christ's death, 40 years, the gospel had reached all the great cultural centers of Rome, all the great cultural centers of the Roman world, along with many out-of-the-way pockets and places in addition to those cultural centers. It's amazing what the gospel did with those men. Since the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the kingdom, the gospel, has been spreading. It has been gaining men of every race and influence in every sphere of life. When Jesus says the fowls of the air, verse 32, He is prophesying, church. He's prophesying that the kingdom becomes a blessing for all people of every tribe, of every tongue, of every nation. Revelation chapter 7, verse 9, we just read it. See, there's a blessing in being a blessing. Did you know that? There's a blessing in being a blessing so that others might be blessed with the salvation of the kingdom of God. Man, there's a blessing in it for you. You say, well, Pastor, I've got my struggles and I've got my problems and I just can't be at church and do all those things at the church house that you think I need to do and God's Word tells me to do. And friend, let me tell you something. We receive the blessing as we minister and serve in the home. Amen? First and foremost, in the home. We receive the blessing as we minister and we serve at church. Amen? Not just at church, but it begins at the home. We receive the blessing as we pay it forward, as we give sacrificially, as we sometimes go sacrificially for the cause of missions and evangelism to other parts of the state, to other parts of this nation, to other parts of the world. Amen? Oh, my goodness. But you cannot be a blessing until you have received the blessing. Until the kingdom has been established. Oh, it's got to be established. You got to be a fragrant offering of life to the kingdom of God. Well, if He's in you, He's growing. And with fear and trembling, you're working out your salvation. If He's not in you, in a few moments, we're going to offer you an opportunity to let Him come in you. Amen. And receive the blessing. Incredible service to others can develop from small beginnings. The kingdom of God, once established, expands and keeps on expanding. And then I end it today with kind of a different point, but it's a point of introspection, I guess, if you will. And point number three is simply this: where does the parable of the mustard seed most challenge you? Where does it most challenge you? What do you mean by that? Well, Mark writes to the Romans. Matthew writes to the Jews. Luke writes to the Greeks. And John writes to everybody in between. He writes to a general audience. But Mark writes to the who? Mark writes to the Romans. That's whom Mark's gospel is addressed to. That's the first audience the gospel's going to. And they're challenged with, these Romans are challenged with what is the appropriate definition of the success of the gospel. What is the success of the kingdom? They struggle with what the right definition is. For the Romans, they would be convicted in regards to what a successful gospel is. The Romans wanted a gospel that held great power, right? If they were writing this parable, they would get their heads together and sit down in a group and say, we can't do the mustard seed. I know, we'll do an acorn. And the acorn will grow in 30 years into a massive oak. But that ain't it. It's not an acorn you can see. It's a tiny little mustard seed that, boy, if you ain't got your reading glasses on, you ain't going to get much out of it. Amen? Right? That's what they would be convicted with. They wanted a gospel kingdom that held great power over others. Instead, they received a gospel that moved them to service and ministry and putting others' needs before their own. That's really what this is about. Putting others' needs before their own. That's what Jesus did, didn't he? He put other people's needs before his own. Roman listeners would be interested in action. Roman listeners would be interested in the great power. Roman listeners would be interested in conquest, not necessarily serving their fellow man. You know, I think on the success side of the gospel, some of the folks outside these four walls, there may be some folks inside the four walls, but definitely some folks outside the four walls, they're equally uncomfortable with the idea that the purpose of the kingdom is to evangelize through ministry and service. See, I think you get that here. I think you get that. I mean, you know, I get a text message from a church member, says, you know, I can't do children's church today. Got two babies. They're home throwing up and sick. It's coming out of both ends. And to boot, we don't have any electricity. And so I get to the church and I'm thinking, man, are we gonna have children's church today? I mean, I just don't know. I know we got two other people that do children's church, or three or four other people that do children's church, but will they be ready? Will they be prepared? Will it happen? I mentioned to one of the children's church workers, Miss Lois, and I said, hey, you know, I spaced out. Mark it on your calendar. Pastor makes another mistake. What's today? The 22nd. He made another one. Mark it down. Amen. And I didn't say anything about our children's church worker backing out for the day. Oh, don't worry about that, Pastor. Miss Jackie's already ready to go. Amen? People tripping over themselves to do ministry in the church. Amen? Good group of guys were up here yesterday, power washed the steeple, the front of the church, got all the bird stuff off everywhere. Yeah. Doesn't that look good? Amen. Give these guys a hand. It looks great. Amen. People hurting themselves to do ministry. I mean, really motivated to do ministry. It's so great. Getting ready to go on vacation here in a couple weeks. Don't have to get pulpit supply. I can talk to men in the church that are ready, willing, and able to get up and bring a message. People wanting to minister. Amen. People bringing food to the food pantry, wanting to minister. Ladies coming over to the school and working with some challenging kids. Let me tell you, some challenging kids. Amen. I mean, challenging kids, right? Well, Pastor, it's private school. Don't you get the cream of the crop kids? Well, some of them are cream of the crop, but some of them, you know, after about the second or third public school, the parents ain't got no choice but to bring them to private school. You know what I'm saying? Some challenging kids. These senior adult ladies, in the twilight of their lives, want to spend their time working with these kids. Ministering. Amen? Nothing but ministering. I think you get it here. But there are some folks, and you may know some folks, who are equally uncomfortable with the idea that the purpose of the kingdom is to evangelize through ministry and service. Once you minister, once you serve them, you have a right, you have a road, you have a crack that you can tell them about Jesus. Amen? Once they know you care, they want to know what you have to say. Once they know you care, you've got some respect from them. Amen? You've got some respect from them. A mustard seed, think about it. A mustard seed is not a symbol of powerful empires. I mean, I know nowhere in the world where a country has a crest and they have a bottle of French's mustard on it. I know nowhere in the world of that, right? Mustard is our symbol of great power and authority. What? No, I know nowhere in the world that way. But I want to tell you, it is an herb noted for its service rather than its dominion. I like me some Chinese food every now and then. I love it. I love it. I'd go to Dragon Inn if they were open today, but they're not. Not going to Dragon Inn. May swing by there this week. My last respite before the kids are out of school. Amen. May swing by there. But when they bring me that wonton soup, they don't bring it to me every time, but when they do, hey, could you bring me some of that hot? Because it's not out. You've got to ask for it. Can you bring me some of that hot mustard? They bring that wonton soup steaming up. And you take a big old helping tablespoon of that. No, you don't. You take a big old heaping. No, you don't. You take your teaspoon and you just get a little bit on there. You got a bowl this big and you just kind of stir that hot mustard in there. And then you start to eat that wonton soup. Aren't it making you hungry? Amen. And that old mustard, it just kind of soothes. A little bit go a long way. Just kind of soothes. It opens up. It increases the blood flow. Kind of calms your spirit. It's good. Amen. That's what this herb is known for. See, herbs, they season. Herbs, they soothe. Herbs, they bring calm. Herbs, they bring comfort. Friend, I want to tell you, we must constantly be drawn back, constantly drawn back to the truth that the kingdom of God begins small in significance and it grows great in service. Well, Pastor, I know, man, I'm saved. It's begun in me. How has it grown in you? Well, you know, I don't know. I probably not grown very much. You need to perhaps find yourself in the altar today, asking God to help you with that. What is standing in the way of the kingdom of God really doing what the kingdom of God is to be doing in you? What's the sin? What's the hang-up? What's the hiccup? What's the malfunction? I mean, it ain't with God. It's got to be with you if you're saved. Amen? Now, I know that's not the popular message of the day, but that's the honest answer of the day. You know? So if there's something standing, blocking, holding it up, seek the Lord in the altar. Tear that thing. Clean that thing. Sweep it. Get it out so you can get a fresh realization, a fresh infilling, if you will, of who the Lord wants you to be. Amen? And friend, if you've not been established, if Jesus doesn't have you, this is the day to let Him have you. Amen? Let the Lord save you. We'll be down front. Brother Jeremiah makes his way down. we will be down front to receive you unto salvation. Don't leave this place lost today. You receive Christ today. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you. We thank you, Jesus, for this opportunity to be together, to preach, to hear your message, to be encouraged and comforted in all of those things. And Lord God, we just pray. We pray if there's anyone here in the service today that needs to receive you as their personal Savior and Lord, this will be the hour of their salvation. Lord, others are struggling with their discipleship. They're struggling in this process of sanctification. And Lord, it's not because of you. It's because of what's going on in them. And Lord, I pray that they would make the right tweaks, adjustments, confessions, repentance, turning from, so they can turn more to. Lord, help them. Help us work out our salvation with fear and trembling, to bring glory and honor to your name, so that others might see Christ in us, so that others might hear the gospel from our lips, so that others might be helped, ministered to, and just loved. Thank you for a loving church. Thank you for a church that knows how to minister. We praise God for them today. Lord, continue to use us. May we lay this invitation down at your feet as we're either praying for someone, praying for ourselves, or just praying for God to move in general. It's in your name we pray, and everyone said, you'll stand with us all over the sanctuary. Brother Jeremiah is going to lead us.